This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Anaheim, where they have lousy Wi-Fi. And we haven't been able to hook up with Tony yet, but we are efforting to do so. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Everything leading towards Sam Levitt's EcoWater SoCal Padre pregame show, which guns underway shortly after 5:30 this afternoon. The Padres will take on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Padres take 2 out of 3 from Kansas City, and they are now 2 games over .500 after spending 24 hours, 3 games over .500, which was their high water mark of the season.
It's not good enough.
Now, see, you're mischaracterizing my comments. You just
I really am. I am agreeing with you. Well, just have fun with them.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to mischaracterize what I'm saying, then go ahead, but I never said it wasn't good enough. I'm happy with their record right now. I'm okay with it. Based on everything they've gone through, they're in good shape. They got a 2 or 3 game lead on the wild card race. This was a team that a lot of people picked to finish fourth in the NL West. Not us, but a lot of people around the country. The Diamondbacks were supposed to be way better than the Padres. The Giants spent a ton of money to be better than the Padres.
They lost Jung Ho Lee.
And guess what? Neither of those two teams are better than the Padres. No. So there's a lot to be happy about.
Thank you.
I don't like the fact that I'm being told I can't be mad that they didn't sweep. That is all I've said, but you want to mischaracterize what I'm saying.
But I still
want... that's okay.
I still need to say that you're mischaracterizing what Mike Schilt said.
Let's call him Bo-Mel.
I don't think
for some
so.
Reason.
I don't think I'm mischaracterizing what Mike Schilt said.
He never said you can't be unhappy with it.
He said he took exception to it. Did he not?
Again, we've already
done
this.
Did he say he took exception to the question?
He didn't say his team took exception, the organization took exception, Mike Schilt took exception.
Okay, and then when I say, is it okay with Mike Schilt if I'm angry they lost yesterday, you're saying that I shouldn't be able to be allowed to say that. Mike Schilt is the one who put himself out there by saying that he took exception to the question last week.
Well, that was also after they had... I think it's a big old different thing, too, because they had just gotten beat big by the Marlins after taking that series and coming out of the Yankee series being a little bit, you know, shaky. I think that's why. It's a whole different thing now that they've gone through the Marlins series and then they won the first 2 games with the Royals.
I don't even know if that has anything to do with what you're
because
we're talking about.
Because feelings change. When that question was asked, they were just trying to get back into a record where they were before the Yankees come to town. So there was more tempers. There was more feelings
involved.
Tempers? Chris is now trying to deflect.
No, I'm not deflecting. I don't know what your point is.
Well, Chris is a gaslighter, and we all know that.
Okay, you know you're using a word that ticks me off, so you're just using that to tick me off. So go right ahead. I'm going to move on from that. The Padres have Matt Walton.
Tony's here.
Oh, good. Tony can intervene in this discussion.
Yes, please do.
I just caught the bare end of it where Chris said you just using a word that you know I can't stand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's trying to call it. Well, he isn't trying to call
it. It must be gaslighting because I didn't catch the word, but it must have been gaslighting.
That's what he used. That's what he used. And I don't even know what it's referring to be honest with you. And I'm not going to give him the chance to explain it. Tony, it's good to have you. After it was a tough trek. The Wi-Fi in Anaheim apparently stinks. So we're glad to get you at all here on the program. But while we have you, before we'll get to the Daily Gambit in a little bit. Padres got the Angels tonight. We know that. Here's what our discussion has been basically for the first hour of the show.
Okay.
I still, for some reason, I can't get it out of my mind. I take exception to Mike Schilt, basically telling us that we can't be pissed they didn't sweep a series last week, and reminding us that we should really be happy about winning 2 out of 3 in 7 out of 9 series. And then this weekend happens, and exactly that happens. They win 2 out of 3 again, and now it's 8 out of 10, and I'm sure we should be happy about that. But I'm saying I should be allowed to be upset that they didn't get the sweep. And I'm not sure that I'm supposed to be upset. I'm supposed to be happy because they won 2 out of 3. So that's where we've been going. Scraby's been yelling at me constantly.
He is painting himself the victim, which is the number one thing of a gaslighter. Is when you call him
gaslighter.
Out, they paint themselves the victim. Chris, all I said was that Mike Schilt never told you you can't be mad.
Ah, there it is.
Okay.
I'm not trying. At this point, I'm really not trying to be a jerk or anything. I'm just trying to say you don't have to try to be a jerk
when you just are one. It's not really, you know, it's not an effort thing.
All right, fair enough.
It's not an effort thing. You walked into that one right there. Here's the thing, Tony. The team flew home yesterday. I'm sure that as a baseball squad, they're able to put it into perspective. They didn't fly home. They flew to Anaheim. They put it into perspective. They say, hey, we're happy to be 2 out of 3. But somewhere, somehow, somebody must have been a little frustrated, maybe just Matsui alone, that they didn't get all three.
Of course they're frustrated. I kind of agree with Scraby on his portion, that last portion he said that Mike Schilt never told anybody that they can't be upset that they didn't win, they didn't get the sweep. I know for a fact that Mike Schilt was a little bit irritated that they didn't get that sweep. I mean, I think they did everything that you needed to do. I think, listen, because you have to remember in a sweep, most time, right? 3-game, 4-game sweep. There's some attrition that happens when you win the first two games, especially the way they had to win it. Now, there are obviously some things you look back on that first night that, ha, man, Colet could have just wrapped that bad boy up. You know, Suarez doesn't have to throw, and it's not 4 days in a row. It's, might have been able to go yesterday, but he wasn't. And when those type of things happen, people have to step up. And there were signs of it all over the place in yesterday's and last night's game, right? I mean, the night before, I should say, Randy Vasquez stepped up. Joe Musgrove couldn't go. Gave him a chance to win it. They go out to get the victory. Yesterday, you know, didn't want to see it, but the hit king right now goes out. Somebody's got to step up. Tyler Wade comes in, makes a couple defensive plays, starts that rally in the eighth to give them the lead. But, you know, when it all boiled down to it, Yuki was asked to step into that spot. He wasn't able to get the job done. So, of course, they're upset that they didn't get the sweep, but they're not going to sit here and, like, cry about it, lose sleep over it. They got another series that they got to try to win this one now to make it 9 out of 12, right? So, you know, I think that's... They're on a good trek, whether, you know, how you feel about it is up to you in terms of that. But they're getting the job done right now, and it's with some injuries. And that's the thing that's concerning a little bit is that can they keep this up with the amount of kind of injuries they have? So far, so good. Taking on this Angels team, got a chance to get another series.
Another criticism of Mike Schilt from me. Why did we use Suarez Saturday night with a 4-run lead? It's not the first time we've done that. And it was successful Saturday night. I understand the Royals had a pretty good hitting part of the lineup coming up. He wanted to salt that win away. I get it. But in doing so, he left himself in a situation, and I, of course, this is a second guess now. He left himself in a situation where not only did he not have Suarez available yesterday, but he didn't have the other guy who's his normal he would go to. He didn't have Estrada available yesterday. He also didn't have Wandy Peralta available. So he painted himself into a bit of a corner by doing that.
No. He
fair or no?
Unfair. Colet painted him into that corner.
Okay.
The night before by not getting through the inning that he got it. That's just the truth of the matter. I mean, you had to use Estrada as much as you did. By the way, he pitched in the first game. He only threw 3 pitches, but he pitched in that game too. So, I mean, you had to, if you want to win the series, which is what this conversation has been partly about, You go get the series. You got a chance to win it. You deal with the sweep on the third day. On the third day, the series is not won until you've won that second game. So, I don't know that that's a good criticism of Mike on that one.
Okay. So the Padres continue to pile up series wins, and hopefully they will continue to do so. But as I told Scraby, doesn't really matter if they lose one in Anaheim, as long as they win two.
Yeah, that's I hear no lies.
So. You hear no lies. So hear see, no lies you're there. You're with that.
If they can get the sweep, I think we'd all like to see the sweep. But I'm certainly not going to poo-poo 2 of 3. I just can't do it.
Oh, can't we just poo-poo a little bit?
I'm never on this side. It feels weird and strange to be on the same side of Tony in a baseball conversation.
Oh, well, you're on the side of the Padres. I'm on the side of the fan base that is starting to wonder when this team is going to put together a really long stretch of wins. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen right now.
For those who keep saying that, you are clearly not watching baseball.
They've won 9 out of their last 12. Isn't that a good stretch of wins?
I don't understand that. When are they going to what? Are you saying like win 12 consecutive games? That might not happen all year.
I'll take 5.
We'll take 5. Okay.
Let's get to 5. Like, this team can't get through 6 games.
They get to 5 and then they lose the 6. I mean, what's wrong with these guys?
Right.
I thought it was a good series this weekend. I did.
It was a wonderful series.
The Royals, going into that series, were 35-23.
And 21-8 at home or something?
21-8 at home to start that series. The Padres went in there and they took care of business. I mean, In a perfect world, they get the sweep there. They had it set up. That's as close as they've been to one, by the way. Seems like in situations where they've had the first couple games and they got to win the last one, it goes wrong from the very beginning of the game. Like there's give up a crooked number early, or there's some errors that just kind of snowball. They had that game in their grips, and that's what you could be a little bit frustrated with, but. I don't know. To say that this team is not stacking up wins because it's not in the consecutive mode, I think is a little ridiculous.
All right, let's go to a question that somebody asked. And this isn't a criticism because I don't think it was a criticism, but it was asked. In the ninth inning yesterday, tying runs at first base. You're the center fielder. You've been there before. Should Jackson Merrill have been playing a little deeper? I don't know that he would have caught that ball, even if he was standing on the warning track. I mean, it was a rocket off the wall. So I'm not saying that that was a difference, but he seemed to be playing pretty shallow rather than the, quote, no doubles defense. Did you notice that? Or, again, I'm not in the stadium, so maybe I'm seeing something that wasn't there.
He plays deep to begin with, so I didn't notice that at all.
What he was I did deep, notice, you thought.
What I did notice was once there comes a time as an outfielder that you got to make a decision on whether you're going to be able to get to this ball or you're not. Once you've decided that you're not going to be able to get to this ball, or once a decision is made one way or the other, that is what could end up, being the deciding factor whether you have a chance to throw a guy out. Jackson, I don't know if he thought he could get to it or just realized too late that he couldn't. But the play there, once you realize you can't get to it, like you're not going to be able to get your glove on this baseball, you got to play that ball off the wall. Because once he committed to going all the way to the wall and the ball hits the wall,
it bounced
guess
past
what?
Him.
Now he's got it. Now he's got to chase it down, and you have very little chance. Had he been committed, had he made the decision earlier to I can't get to this ball, I'm gonna set up to play it off the wall. Now you got a chance to throw the guy out from first base. But once he committed to making the catch and never got to the ball, and the ball hits the wall. Now it comes back. I didn't think he was playing too shallow, so to speak, on that play.
Yeah, but you're right. The ball shouldn't. He should have been able to not allow that ball to bounce past him. He might have been able to kept it at a double, and who knows if what happens after that.
The idea is okay. Off the bat, that ball is probably a double. I mean, it hit the wall, yes. hit the center field wall on the fly. So I think off the bat, you got to assume, unless you are playing no doubles, which I don't think he was playing no doubles in that situation, because ideally, if you got a chance to cut down the tying run, you do that. You already know you're behind the eight ball in terms of your bullpen. So I don't know that you're necessarily trying to just give up on the initial run. So I understand where his positioning was from that standpoint. But again, once the ball's hit, you got to make the decision early. All right, I'm not going to get to this, so let me put myself in the best position to be able to make a play at home to get this, to get the go-ahead, the game-winning run from coming across.
All right, Tony Gwynn Jr. is with us. We are very happy about that. The Padres roller coaster has pulled into Anaheim for game one of the series against the Angels. And one last thing before we go to our quick timeout and a check of traffic. Scraby, if you're going to get in an argument with me, and part of your argument is going to be that the Padres, I should be happy because they've won 9 out of their last 12 games, at least make it to where they actually have won 9 of their last 12 games. They've won 7 of their last 12 games.
This is what I get for looking at the chat.
You know, I mean,
it's 9 of the last 12 series that they were trying to say.
They've actually won 9 of their last 11 series. They dominate.
Chris had been sitting on that one for a couple minutes.
I had not.
Yeah.
You just said it a couple of minutes ago. I looked it up. I'm like, wow, they've won 9 out of 12? I should be happier.
You know I'm wrong, Chris. How does that make you feel?
It doesn't. Let's check traffic. More to come with TG. There's a lot going on in the sports world this weekend. We'll get to some of that. Daily Gambit as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, some Padre news for you. First of all, we're waiting on a lineup, unless you've got it ahead of us, Tony. Assuming Luis Arraez, he seemed to indicate yesterday he'd be all right to play today, but the official lineup not yet out for tonight's game against the Angels. So we'll double-check on that. The other news, Adam Mazur, young right-hander, third-ranked pitching prospect, has been called up. He will get the start
for the Padres,
tomorrow.
Right?
Yes. He will get the start tomorrow against the Angels. Of course, Padres are dealing with the fact that two of their aces, Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish, are on the injured list right now. And you know, this next month's going to be difficult. I mean, while we keep talking about winning 2 out of 3 or sweeping series, you're trying to get it done at the big league level with, you know, 2 of your 5 starters on the shelf. You know, treading water is going to be pretty good, if you ask me, Tony, over the month of June until these guys come back.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to see what Major brings to the table. You know, the Padres have been without their top two starters at different times of the year. And I think they've done better than tread water in those situations. And so I think, you know, at some point, I think as an organization, you want to see what kind of depth you really have, right? And a lot of times, the good teams, that's going to be tested, and how you come through it, you know, kind of will determine, you know, what your depth actually really is. These type of things happen all the time. Good teams, bad teams, mediocre teams. The good ones, somebody comes up and they do the job for the time necessary. Now, that doesn't mean you need Major to come up and do it for an entire rest of the season, but you need him to come up and pitch like a number three prospect in your organization at a time of need. And this is a time of need. I look at it as, I mean, these are opportunities for some of the young guys. It was like that coming into the year. I mean, just think. I mean, Matt Waldron had to go out and earn his keep, basically. He did that to start the season. It was bumpy for a little bit. And now he's had a nice little stretch here. That's kind of what you're hoping for, you know, when you can't just go out and trade for somebody, or you can't just go out and sign somebody. You get to see what your depth is like. And so Major is going to get a chance to come up here and, you know, plant his flag, if you will. Like, hey, I belong.
You know, you're right. I mean, you look at the teams that are really having great seasons. The Yankees have done it all year without their ace, Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
The Phillies have done it all year, or most of the year, without their best player, one of their best players, Trey Turner. The Dodgers have done it with a million guys on the injured list. So, Padres, you know, their turn right now to see what they can do while some guys are hurt. I think it's a good point. The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed on 97.3 The Fan, like the opening hour of the show today where Scraby and I spent the entire 60 minutes screaming and yelling at each other. While you're listening to 97.3 The Fan, click to listen on demand. If you missed anything, Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan, tap earlier today to get started. All right, Tony, I'm sure everybody saw the clip this weekend. It's kind of the one thing that was national news, and that's good for the WNBA. But I don't know that this is the way the WNBA wants to be the national news. The Chicago Sky player, Kennedy Carter, hip checked Caitlin Clark, and the camera caught it, and she flew to the ground. And this has turned into a big conversation, whether or not it was just physical play, whether it was a cheap shot, whether or not the league is just completely picking on Caitlin Clark. It's even got involved, you know, race discussion, white players, black players. Are they targeting Caitlin Clark, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I would, first of all, I don't think that it really needs to even go to there. Although, for some reason, people seem to want to bring that up. To me, it's a young basketball player, and there is always a little bit of an indoctrination into your sport. But in my mind, Tony, and I'm sure you saw it, the hip check by Kennedy Carter was a cheap shot. There was nothing tough about it. It's easy to hip check somebody to the floor when they don't even see you coming.
Right.
So I don't really think that makes you look tough. I think it's kind of a soft move, to be honest with you. Angel Reese doesn't score any more points. In fact, she probably loses a few more by jumping off the bench and cheering as soon as the hip check happened. But there are also a couple of other things. Number one, where were the Indiana Fever teammates of Caitlin Clark? I didn't see anyone come over to her, help her up, to help defend her in this situation. I also saw an extended clip leading up to this hip check, which showed Caitlin Clark apparently talking, or at least it looked like it, talking some trash in the direction of Kennedy Carter as the two were on their way down the court. So there's a lot here to unpack. The WNBA is not given any fine. They did upgrade it to a flagrant one foul, whatever that means. Tony, I'm not sure where we go here, but the WNBA, like I said, it's good to get all this attention. I don't know if this is how they want it, though.
I'm sure this is not exactly how they want it, but it is good. It's attention, right? And we're talking about it. A lot of people are talking about it. Caitlin Clark, is, by the way, is doing a heck of a job in her first year. I mean, I know it may not be what folks who just now started following the WNBA expected, but it's about right. I mean, she's putting up 16 a game as a rookie. I mean, that just – and in a guard position, that doesn't happen very often. And so she's doing her thing. She's – I mean, you and I talked a while ago about the idea or the expectation that she was just going to roll in and it was going to be – she was going to be doing what she was doing at Iowa. I mean, the reality is that league is really good. For, you know, it's a really good, it's the top of the top for women's sports in terms of basketball. In terms of the shot, it was a cheap shot. Now, I don't know. I didn't see the whole build up. I didn't see the trash talk before. But just looking at it in a vacuum, it was a cheap shot. And I'm not saying it was a cheap shot that could do serious damage or hurt, but it was a cheap shot nonetheless. She didn't see it coming. Hip checked her. She hit the ground. I do have the same question in terms of where her teammates were. Like, I mean, at the very least, be there to help pick her up and, like, you know, aid her and kind of, like, at least a little barking back and forth. Like, hey, you know, we could do that too. You know, I don't know what you say. Something along those
lines.
Yeah,
right. Just get right, in the face, you know, of like, the player who did it. Yeah.
Show that you got her back.
You think Draymond Green, had that been done to Steph Curry, would have had a little reaction to the player
Draymond,
who did it?
We be talking about Draymond being suspended for 5-6 games.
He might be going to jail, for heaven's sakes. Poor Draymond.
Did that to Steph Curry.
That's right.
Yeah, I think I'm sure there are. In the same way, I don't know if you guys saw the other day, LeBron was talking about some of his teammates, and they actually played clips of some of his teammates talking about him before he became a teammate of theirs, like when he was a senior in high school. And I imagine in the same way, there's a few people a little jealous, some haters, I'm sure. You know, I'm positive of it. I don't think that's indicative of all of the women there. I think most of them know what it is. I think we have to be careful, though, because this is competition, right? And in the men's sport, this kind of stuff happens all the time. And we're not having these same type of conversations, right? So I think we have to be, I don't know if careful is the right word, but we just need to make sure we're talking about it correctly. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't get caught up in the fact that these are women playing, right? Because, I mean, we know that this is the case, but this is still competition. And I would say that most of those women, if not all those women, want to be respected in their sport for being some of the top competitors. I think Caitlin is navigating what it's like to be a professional. I think that particular hit, though, was cheap.
I was really, I don't understand the WNBA not at least levying some sort of fine against the player. I think they got to send the message that that's not going to be tolerated. It's not going to be tolerated if Caitlin Clark does it to Kennedy Carter. I mean, I just don't think it's a great look. But
why, would that be a fine in an NBA game?
And
that's what I'm saying. We got to make sure we're talking about this in the same light. Like, I thought it should have been a flagrant from the moment it happened. It shouldn't have had to have been upgraded.
Okay.
Right? But now, if we're talking about fine, I don't think it was warranted of a fine.
All right.
Unless you think that would have been a fine in, you know, any form of basketball.
Yeah.
Professional basketball.
Maybe I don't. The other thing, you touched on it, but if her teammates don't come to her defense,
it's going to keep happening.
Does it also show that maybe there's some jealousy on her own team of her? And it might have even been in the back of their minds, like,
there was one player.
Don't mind seeing her get hip checked a little bit.
I immediately saw what you saw.
I just wonder if that's part of it, too.
And didn't see anybody going towards her, but her teammate did come over and get her
ground. I know Boston did, right? I think she was the one that came up and
right,
like, helped her
up.
But
there was nothing toward the other player who
no,
did that.
No, there wasn't. I don't know. And so maybe it – I mean, maybe – yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I would hate to think that, you know – And listen, but the other thing that we got to keep in mind is this is a team that was, I think they were dead last year. You know what I'm saying? They might not have a lot of the kind of mindsets yet that you need to have. And, you know, because that's, you see that often, especially with the really good teams. Somebody gets pushed down. Somebody, there's going to be heck to pay for it. Like, you're going to have to deal with some people. And maybe they just haven't developed it yet, but I definitely didn't go by me that I didn't see a lot of people over there helping her out. So there may be some jealousy.
You,
that jealousy
you said
you're
a fine
about.
Just came in
well,
like this
a couple
minute?
Hours ago. We were actually doing our stuff before the show when this article was released. But Angel Reese was fined $1,000.
Yeah. The team was fined for not showing up
for
the press $5,000. Yeah, but there's no fine to this lady for the hit, the gal for the hit.
Well, then this thing,
no.
Then this article's yeah, no, wrong.
Wait, does it say that there's...
No, I don't believe so. I believe the fines were to the team for not showing up and to Angel Reese for not making herself available after the game.
Right. Oh. Or I think it was for Angel Reese for not showing up and the team for not making her available. Yeah, that happened for real.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see any fine, though, for other girl.
Yeah, I guess I'm not...
There wasn't.
I'm not correct
here,
guys.
So the article's wrong?
Well, the title misled me.
I think you just read it wrong.
Title misled me. This is
the
on me.
The article's wrong.
This is on me. Oh, gosh.
We love you, Scrape.
I was going so well.
We love
you. I was going so well.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back when we return. We are going to get the Daily Gambit, but a little bit later. Next, we have a Padre Pen Pals. Wow. That should get us back into a heated discussion
Yay.
About something. Find out what it is when we
Can't
return.
Can't wait. Tony Gwynn Jr. here. Summer is almost here. And with
if you love Mediterranean food like we do, try Spiro's authentic Mediterranean cuisine. It's in Coronado and La Jolla, also now at the ballpark. For dining or takeout options, catering, visit spiroscuisine.com. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Anaheim. He's at the ballpark.
Yep.
Padres taking on the Angels tonight. At a place that used to be called the Big A. It was so named by my former boss at the Los Angeles Times. A sports writer by the name of Dave Distel came up with that name when he covered the Angels back in the day. Called it the Big A. It held for a long, long time. I don't know. What do they call it now? That ballpark.
I don't know.
What is
yeah.
it?
The trash can?
I don't know.
Oh, that's not very nice. Angel Stadium.
Angel Stadium.
Oh, so he goes with the actual name of it.
Yeah, that's what we were hoping for, actually.
Sorry. I thought you were looking for nicknames.
That's what we were looking
yes,
for.
Yes, we normally...
you were right, Tony. I was wrong.
Yes, well, that's not surprising.
No.
You were wrong. All right, before we continue on with you being wrong, let's just get to traffic and...
Yeah, lineup.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm getting word that we have a lineup, but we don't actually have the lineup. Tony, you have it, though, right?
I have
All
it.
All right. Let me get this little lineup sounder going for the update.
The Padres will be without the services of Luis Arraez in tonight's action. Jerickson Profar in the leadoff spot. He'll be the designated hitter. Fernando Tatis Jr. in right. Manny batting third playing third base. Donovan Salado back in the lineup with the lefty on the mound. He'll bat cleanup. Jake Cronenworth at second. Ha-Sung Kim at short. Jackson Merrill patrolling center field. And then Jose Azokar in left. Kyle Gashioka behind the dish.
A couple of things about that lineup. One, we've talked about a lot of stuff today. Not Donovan Solano.
Mm.
Wow. What's he hitting
Talk about
now? About four something?
Oh, about 404.
Man.
Wow, really? I didn't realize it was
Yes,
404.
What a great addition he's been.
I take exception you haven't brought him up to this point, Chris.
Yeah. Just, he is so lucky
today.
He sits way
he
over there.
He hates me today.
I mean, the whole gaslighting line was just enough to make me hate you. For
he shot me a real
a
look.
Long, long time.
He shot me that real look of, you better be quiet.
Yes, light.
The other thing is Kyle Higashioka called him out a little bit last week. in terms of being able to contribute a little bit. And it was nice to see that he did contribute a little bit over the weekend. Hit a home run, had a couple of base hits. The Padres do need to get Luis Campusano going, though, Tony. He's an 0-for-25 slump right now. He wouldn't have been in there tonight anyway with Waldron pitching, but going to need Campusano to get going. These kinds of things happen throughout a season. It's no fun when it's happening to you, I'm sure, if it's Campusano we're talking about here.
I've been there, man. It feels like you're never going to get a hit ever again.
And it feels like every time there's a guy in first base, he just grounds into a double play. I mean, I know he doesn't, but it feels like it.
It feels like it's 0-1 to start.
Every at bat, you're behind in the count.
Every at bat, you're behind in the count.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like there's about 12 defenders on the field.
That's right. Wherever you hit it.
It just doesn't matter. And it feels like whatever you think is coming, the opposite is coming. That is how those spurts of suckiness feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it hasn't been fun to watch, but I have faith that Campusano will get rolling here again soon. But tonight, Higashioka's playing. All right, let's check traffic. We got our lineup. Arise tonight, and then we'll do mailbag. Padres Pen Pals, as it's also known as.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, 97.3 The Fan.
For everybody saying that I've just been getting meaner to Chris over the years, I was always mean because I put that little, he likes carrier pigeons in there like 5 years ago, so nothing changes over here. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com.
I appreciate you repeating what I just said no more than 3 minutes ago.
I apologize.
Spiros is happy. They get an extra mention.
I meant to actually read the other one that's on top of it, but I didn't. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair, opening June 12th. The Magic of the Midway live concerts and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online and learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. SDFair.com. It says STFair.com, so I'll give you both.
We don't need to know why you hesitated.
No, STFair.com.
You don't have to give an explanation. Just keep it moving, man. Nobody will notice.
Okay. When they go to STFair.com and it tells them it's the wrong website, they're going to be mad at me.
Here you go. Over-explain it again. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Padres Pen Pals. Now, I don't think we have an overwhelmingly negative group today. But here we go. Chris, you're up first. What's up with the overusage of Steven Kolek? He's had some good moments this year, but tonight was the most concerning outing yet. By the way, this came in on Friday night after the game. He's given up 13 runs in the month of May and could set up the bullpen for the rest of the weekend to work against the Padres. I'm not saying he should be DFA'd, but Chris, would you send him back to AAA?
So you're not saying that he should be DFA'd, or the writer of the note
the writer
is not saying.
Yeah,
they want me to say he should be DFA'd.
No, they're saying...
You're setting you up.
Is that the idea?
No, the actual question is, would you send him back to AAA?
Yeah, but they're not going to do it. They want me to do it. I don't know. If I had a better option, maybe I would send him down. But I don't really know the entire AAA pitching staff right now. And I imagine that's been weakened with the call-up of Gillespie. And now Major for these injury replacements. Kolek's your long guy. I don't know. You can look around baseball. I doubt there's a really, really shut down, flame-throwing long guy on anybody's roster anywhere in baseball. It just seems like we have it the worst here in San Diego because we see this all the time. He's had some good stretches. He's in a really bad stretch right now. But He's the lowest-ranked guy in your staff, so he kind of pitches like that.
I have my hand up because I'm being notified of a rule. And
yeah, that's why I said he can't.
He's a Rule 5 guy. Yeah, Tony did say that.
Oh, okay.
He cannot be put down to AAA, right? They can only put him in waivers? Is that the case,
no,
Tony?
No, they got to give him back. They claimed him on waivers, so he's a waiver claim. He's a big league, or not, excuse me, not a waiver claim. He's a Rule 5 draft guy. So basically what that is, when you get Rule 5 drafted at the big league level, you have to then be on that big league roster all year.
Wow.
In order for the team to keep you. Otherwise, they got to give him back. And so that is why he will not get sent down.
That's why he's still on the team.
At least with the Padres.
You know, I thought this was an amazing question on Friday night. I didn't do my Rule 5 draft research, but...
Well, no, to be fair, I mean, that's kind of what we're supposed to do, is kind of educate on that one. Whoever it is, who wrote this?
One of the listeners over the weekend on Friday.
One of our listeners got a little bit, we kind of foresaw what was going to happen in the end of this weekend when Kolek wasn't able to get out of the inning.
They did do that. All right, well, he can't go back to AAA. He's not going to get DFA'd, so we're stuck with Steven Kolek, everybody.
No, you're not stuck. I mean, the Padres could decide, you know what, we'll give him back. They could decide that.
There's so many weird rules in base. We'll give you back. Here you go.
But understand that he's the 13th pitcher on a 13-man roster, and very few 13th men are shut down, close the door type relievers. That's the very definition of your 13th guy.
All right.
He's probably going to give up some runs. Hopefully not to the extent he did Friday, but anyway.
I didn't know about the Rule 5
something
draft,
to
but
keep
good,
in
good,
mind.
Good knowledge all the way around, everybody. All right, here we go to the next one. This one's about Mike Schilt. I tend to really like the way Mike Schilt uses his bullpen and goes for the win instead of trying to play games for the future. Case in point, Saturday night, he went for it with Suarez, even though it put the bullpen in a bind yesterday. My question is, why does Mike Schilt let the media get to him? It seems like some of the reactions are because the media puts him on his heels. Tony, is that something that is unique to Mike Schilt, or is it someone common around baseball?
No, I kind of think it is unique to Mike. I think, the only other place he was at prior to this was St. Louis. And so, I don't know how their fans did it or whatnot. But I don't think it's a every manager type deal. I do think there are certain things that he seems to get agitated with. And I don't think that is like a managerial thing. I just think the things that he is kind of bristled at have been, I think, things that he finds he disagrees with, I think, is the word I'm looking for. So, yeah, no, I don't know why it bothers him as much as it does, but it clearly does. And maybe that's just this is him wearing his emotions on his sleeve a little bit.
Can't fault a guy for doing that. Chris, is that something unique to Mike Schilt, or is it somewhat common to get...
I don't know, but it bothers me that it bothers him. And that takes us back to the very beginning of the show today.
Okay, here we go.
So, you know, I guess we're going to have to learn to live with it. He's going to probably, you know... He's probably going to be rankled at some questions that he gets as the season goes along, because there's going to be some people that ask negative tinted questions. Just going to happen.
Tinted, like that.
Name it, yeah, whatever.
That's a good word for it.
It's going to happen.
I liked it.
It's pretty hard to not have something of that along those lines. But, you know, you asked also about the usage of the bullpen, and we already discussed Saturday night.
Yes, we did.
I would not have... Yeah, I would have rolled the dice with Wandy Peralta in the ninth inning. And because I didn't have Estrada available Sunday, I would have rather not had to be in a position where I also did not have Suarez Sunday. But that's easy to say now.
All right. Here we go to the last one real quick, because we're about to go to break. This fan base loves talking contracts, and I am no different. I am okay with Joe Musgrove's contract, but the Yu Darvish contract is still a head-scratcher. I was talking with some friends over the weekend, and we don't know that contract can ever really be a win for the Padres at this point. Chris, what would you say needs to happen for that to be a successful contract, Yu Darvish's?
For Yu Darvish to be a successful contract? I don't know. He's got to win two Cy Young Awards. I mean, he's making so much money.
He's making over 100, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this is what the going rate was to get an ace pitcher. So as long as he stays the ace of the squad for a couple of years, and I think he still is that ace, even though he hasn't always pitched like it, I think it's okay. I don't have an issue with it.
Tony, what do you think? What does he need to do for it to be successful?
Just be healthy.
Oh, good point. Just be available is what Tony's saying. All right, Tony, thank you for dropping by. We are going to go do Chris versus the fans when we get back. Tony is off to go talk to the Padres players, but 833-288-0973.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins...
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, 97.3 The Fan.
For everybody saying that I've just been getting meaner to Chris over the years, I was always mean. Because I put that little... He likes carrier pigeons in there like 5 years ago, so nothing changes over here. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com.
I appreciate you repeating what I just said no more than 3 minutes ago.
I apologize.
Hey, Spiro's is happy. They get an extra mention.
I meant to actually read the other one that's on top of it, but I didn't. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair opening June 12th. The Magic of the Midway live concerts and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online and learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. SDFair.com. It says STFair.com, so I'll give you both.
We don't need to know why you hesitated.
No, STFair.com.
You don't have to give an explanation there. Just keep it moving, man. Nobody will notice.
Okay. When they go to STFair.com and it tells them it's the wrong website, they're going to be mad at me.
Here you go. Over-explain it again. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Padres Pen Pals. Now, I don't think we have an overwhelmingly negative group today. But here we go. Chris, you're up first. What's up with the overusage of Steven Kolek? He's had some good moments this year, but tonight was the most concerning outing yet. By the way, this came in on Friday night after the game. He's given up 13 runs in the month of May and could set up the bullpen for the rest of the weekend to work against the Padres. I'm not saying he should be DFA'd, but Chris, would you send him back to AAA?
So you're not saying that he should be DFA'd, or the writer of the note is not saying. Yeah, they want me to say he should be DFA'd.
No, they're saying
they're setting you up.
Is that the idea?
No, the actual question is, would you send him back to AAA?
Yeah, but they're not going to do it. They want me to do it. I don't know. If I had a better option, maybe I would send him down. But I don't really know the entire AAA pitching staff right now, and I imagine that's been weakened with the call-up of Gillespie. And now Major for these injury replacements. Kolek's your long guy. I don't know. You can look around baseball. I doubt there's a really, really shut down, flame throwing long guy on anybody's roster anywhere in baseball. It just seems like we have it the worst here in San Diego because we see this all the time. He's had some good stretches. He's in a really bad stretch right now, but he's. He's the lowest-ranked guy in your staff, so he kind of pitches like that.
I have my hand up because I'm being notified of a rule. And
yeah, that's why I said
he
can't.
He's a Rule 5 guy. Yeah, Tony did say that.
Oh, okay.
He cannot be put down to AAA, right? They can only put him in waivers? Is that the case,
no,
Tony?
No, they got to give him back. They claimed him on waivers, so he's a waiver claim. He's a big league – or not, excuse me, not a waiver claim. He's a Rule 5 draft guy, so – basically, what that means is when you get Rule 5 drafted at the big league level, you have to then be on that big league roster all year.
Wow.
In order for the team to keep you. Otherwise, they got to give him back. And so that is why he will not get sent down.
That's why he's still on the team.
At least with the Padres.
You know, I thought this was an amazing question on Friday night. I didn't do my Rule 5 draft research, but.
Well, no. To be fair. I mean, that's kind of what we're supposed to do is kind of educate on that one. Whoever it is, who wrote this?
One of the listeners over the weekend on Friday.
One of our listeners got a little bit, we kind of foresaw what was going to happen in the end of this weekend when Kolek wasn't able to get out of the inning.
They did do that. All right, well, he can't go back to AAA. He's not going to get DFA'd, so we're stuck with Steven Kolek, everybody.
No, you're not stuck. I mean, the Padres could decide, you know what, we'll give him back. They could decide that.
There's so many weird rules in base. We'll give you back. Here you
but
go.
Understand that he's the 13th pitcher on a 13-man roster, and very few 13th men are shut down, close the door type relievers. That's the very definition of your 13th guy.
All right.
He's probably going to give up some runs. Hopefully not to the extent he did Friday, but anyway.
I didn't know about the rule 5
something
draft,
to keep
good,
in
good,
mind.
Good knowledge all the way around, everybody. All right, here we go to the next one. This one's about Mike Schilt. I tend to really like the way Mike Schilt uses his bullpen and goes for the win instead of trying to play games for the future. Case in point, Saturday night. He went for it with Suarez, even though it put the bullpen in a bind yesterday. My question is, why does Mike Schilt let the media get to him? It seems like some of the reactions are because the media puts him on his heels. Tony, is that something that is unique to Mike Schilt, or is it somewhat common around baseball?
No, I kind of think it is unique to Mike. I think, you know, as a the only other place he was at prior to this was St. Louis. And so I don't know how their fans did it or whatnot. But I don't think it's a every manager type deal. I do think there are certain things that he seems to get agitated with. And I don't think that is like a managerial thing. I just think the things that he is kind of bristled at have been, I think, things that he finds he disagrees with, I think, is the word I'm looking for. So, yeah, no, I don't know why it bothers him as much as it does, but it clearly does. And maybe that's just this is him wearing his emotions on his sleeve a little bit.
Can't fault a guy for doing that. Chris, is that something unique to Mike Schilt, or is it somewhat common to get...
I don't know, but it bothers me that it bothers him. And that takes us back to the very beginning of the show today.
Okay, here we go.
So, you know, I guess we're going to have to learn to live with it. He's going to probably, you know... He's probably going to be rankled at some questions that he gets as the season goes along, because there's going to be some people that ask negative tinted questions. Just going to happen.
Tinted, like that.
Name it, yeah, whatever.
That's a good word for it.
It's going to happen.
I liked it.
It's pretty hard to not have something of that along those lines. But, you know, you asked also about the usage of the bullpen, and we already discussed Saturday night.
Yes, we did.
I would not have... Yeah, I would have rolled the dice with Wandy Peralta in the ninth inning. And because I didn't have Estrada available Sunday, I would have rather not had to be in a position where I also did not have Suarez Sunday. But that's easy to say now.
All right. Here we go to the last one real quick, because we're about to go to break. This fan base loves talking contracts, and I am no different. I am okay with Joe Musgrove's contract, but the Yu Darvish contract is still a head-scratcher. I was talking with some friends over the weekend, and we don't know that contract can ever really be a win for the Padres at this point. Chris, what would you say needs to happen for that to be a successful contract, Yu Darvish's?
For Yu Darvish to be a successful contract? I don't know. He's got to win 2 Cy Young Awards. I mean, he's making so much money.
He's making over 100, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this is what the going rate was to get an ace pitcher. So as long as he stays the ace of the squad for a couple of years, and I think he still is that ace, even though he hasn't always pitched like it, I think it's okay. I don't have an issue with it.
Tony, what do you think? What does he need to do for it to be successful?
Just be healthy.
Oh, good point. Just be available is what Tony's saying. All right, Tony, thank you for dropping by. We are going to go do Chris versus the fans when we get back. Tony is off to go talk to the Padres players, but 833-288-0973.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.